Well, good evening and welcome to our Wednesday night service. As you may know by now, I am not Pastor Slagle.
If you didn't know, I'm very sorry to alarm you this way. But he is traveling. His mother has been very sick. I don't know all the details. So he's going to spend some time with her. So let's just keep him in our prayers and her. And I think it's good when he can get away, too, because he does a lot of work. And he has pressure and stress. And I know. I've seen him. I know how it works. There's a really big problem. I know it usually ends up in his office. And usually I duck my head like this. And so anyway, he deals with various things, and there's a lot of pressure in his position. So let's just keep him in our prayers and that the Lord continue to work and the Lord continue to use him as he has. So we have a few visitors here. I don't usually embarrass visitors, but I got it right here. We had a couple people, Scott Hatchett and Jim Apple is here. We appreciate them coming. I think they're helping Dan with a project. So we're glad to have you. Thank you for coming. But you guys are not as big a celebrity, this guy. We got Joel Dedek here. Yay. It's good to have him back. The row is kind of empty when you're not there, I'll just tell you. It doesn't have the same vibe, but we're thankful that you're able to visit with us. And he's transitioning right now. He's moving on. The Lord has put him in another ministry. And so the family is going to, I think they're finishing the school year here, and then they'll all move. So we're going to have a going away party, and we will be sad. So, but anyway, I'm just to let you know. But it's good to see him when he can come back and spend time with his family. It's good to have him here. All right. Hopefully I haven't done too much damage by pointing people out. Everyone's always embarrassed if I point them out, I know. So if you're embarrassed, I'm sorry. But it's too late. All right. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. If you didn't have a Bible, or I think today people even use cell phones, the Pew Bible is in front of you, and it's page 1,342. So 1,342, or Matthew chapter 5. Matthew's the first book of your New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a chance to open your word and to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that we would not be hard-hearted or resistant to the message you have for us, but I pray that you would speak clearly to us. And Lord, help us not to be full of pride or help us not to be full of stubbornness doing our own thing. But I pray that we come before you as clay being ready to be molded and give us a softness of heart, a softness of spirit. Lord, help us to be broken in of our own ways. Help us to be open to what you have to say to us. I pray that you would use this word to encourage us, Lord. I need the strength from the scripture. I need this message more than anyone else here. So I pray that you'd work in my own heart. And I pray that you'd work here with my friends as well and that you'd encourage us, Lord. We need that strength that you can bring. And we ask this in the name of the of God himself. Amen. All right. I got to tell you about one of my all-time favorite animals. And this animal, I can't give it away right away. I'll build up to it. You can kind of think about what it is. We study animals a lot at my house. We have little kids, so animals are in right now. But this animal is the only animal that has two eyes that can rotate in a 360 manner. And they can rotate independently of each other. You know what animal it is? No one has any clue? Yes. All right, I got you. I'll give you some more clues. Once I give you this clue, you're going to know what animal it is. You know what it is? Don't give it away just yet. You can just sit there and look smug if you need to. This animal is known because of how, whenever its mood changes, its color of skin can change. That should have given it away. Yes. Someone want to guess now? This is a... Yes, a chameleon, yes. So they've studied these, and for researching this, because this is for the message, I had to research it. I went to a great place for research, YouTube, and they can change within a matter of seconds, and this thing would change bright colors quickly. I don't think it was a time-lapse deal at all. But anyway, these things are amazing. God created them in an amazing manner. But depending on how their mood is, so if it's a male and it's looking to mate, it'll be the brightest color possible because that shows its power. And the brighter the color, the more powerful this chameleon is, I guess, and the more desirable it is. Also, the female, when she mates, she changes colors because they don't spend very much time together. And so she changes colors, and that's like it's time to mate. And then that was over. Then she gets pregnant. She's a different color. And then I guess there's colors for everything. If it's hot, they change one color. If they're cold, they change another color. And they're constantly changing. And it's just rapidly, they can their skin can do this. So God has made them in a remarkable manner that they can change so quickly and be different things. You know, in the animal world, changing colors, disguising yourself, camouflaging yourself, this is survival, right? This is how you can fit into your surroundings. This can be safety to you. But I will tell you, as believers, being a chameleon is the worst thing for us, isn't it? It's the worst thing that we can possibly do. Now, as believers, we have the entire system of the world against us, right? We have the world, the flesh, the devil, and they're in opposition to us. And if you haven't noticed right now, the devil is running this world, okay? God isn't running this. This is a disaster. And horrible things are happening everywhere, be it in governments, be it in countries, be it in your neighborhood. All kinds of things have happened, you know? You see the cop cars drive by. That's probably not a good reason that they're there. Something bad has happened, okay? So this world system is corrupt. This world system is anti-God and anti what is right, okay? Now, for us as believers, the easy thing to do is to fit in. Maybe not even change your values, but maybe not just say something, or maybe praying for you in public. You know, you might draw some attention to yourself. And it's easy to be like the chameleon, to change colors so that people don't see what you really are. What's hard to do is to stand out and to be different. I'll quote for you an ancient Chinese proverb. This is my favorite ancient Chinese proverbs. This isn't from a fortune cookie. This is like a real one. But ancient Chinese proverb, here we go. The nail that sticks up is the one that's pounded down. You ever feel like you're that nail, like you're different? And so people are like, why are you different? You've got to conform. But if we're against the world system that's anti-Christian and anti-God, we're going to stick out. There's no other way to do this. And if we're going to make a difference for a lost and dying world and show them the way to God and show them what's correct, at some point, we're going to stick out. That's just how it is. And trying to minimize how we stick out, I think that's not helping the unsaved person. Okay? They have enough buddies. They don't need one more buddy. They need someone to show them something different, and that involves us being different. So in our Christian lives, we should be different than the world. We should have a witness, a testimony. We should have a different ethic than the people around us. The things that they can say and do and not even feel bad, we shouldn't be able to do those and say those same things. They should notice that we're different. And so in our standards, in the way we live our personal life, and I will tell you, I think sometimes believers, when it comes to their personal standards, I think sometimes we're worried about even people in our church. You know, what's this person going to think? And you don't want to be the one that sticks out. And so rather than worrying, number one, about what God thinks about us, it's what does this person in the pew think, or that person, or this person in leadership? And I think we have it all backwards. We're trying to please men. And it's easy to be proud, isn't it? To have the fear of men. What do people think about me? And how will they react? I could have an invitation right here with this point. I thought about doing this. I took it out of my notes, though. Are there things in your life you would do differently if you were more worried about God and what he thought of you than people and what they think about you? I just dropped a truth bomb there, didn't I? Think about that. Am I more worried about what the people around me think? Or am I more worried about what God thinks? How many times do you think, man, I should say something, but you're like, you're looking around, you're like, ooh, that would really stick out. That would draw a lot of attention to me, and I can't have that. I can't have people thinking that about me, so I have to disguise this. No, God gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves and we represent him, not ourselves, the Lord can use us in powerful ways. Fitting in is easy to do, but fitting in doesn't change anyone. And God even warns us in John 15:18. He says, or Christ says this, if the world hate you, you know that it will hate me, that it hated me before it hated you. The idea is, you know, if you fit in, then you're doing something wrong because I didn't fit in, and you represent me. I was going door-to-door on Sunday, and someone asked me, you know, everyone seems to be mad at us today. Do you think we're doing something wrong? I said, yeah, we're witnessing to these people. And they don't want to hear this. Now, it doesn't mean we're trying to be rude about it or we're trying to be offensive. You can be polite. But there is a certain ring to truth. And people would talk to us for a long time. And you could see on their faces conviction. But at the end of the day, they didn't want to face that truth. And so for them, that was a hard thing. It's easy for us as believers to get comfortable. to think that this life is where we're at. You know, I've got to have the nice house and the nice car, and I've got to make things smooth and easy, right? I got something that bothers me, maybe someone I know bothers me, or dealing with this person bothers me, or dealing with this problem bothers me. I got to get rid of all the rough edges, and I got to make my life smooth and comfortable. And this world, it becomes our home, doesn't it? It's like a nest. We're trying to make softness for ourselves. Well, that's not what we're here for. We're here temporarily. Don't get comfortable here. Get comfortable in heaven. My life here doesn't have to be that great. I will tell you, my retirement plan, it's heavenly. My retirement plan's heavenly. I'm not going to have a lot in this life. That's okay. I'm not worried about that. We're only here temporarily. Our goal is not to fit in. Our goal is to affect the people around us. And so Christ is talking to his disciples, and he tells them, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to stand out. And so we have the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 5. And, you know, you have a whole crowd of people pressing Christ, and he takes the time to speak to a handful of them, to influence a handful of people that will take his message to the world. He doesn't have time for everyone. He realizes, I'm limited time, so I'm going to use it efficiently, and that's those relationships, building relationships of people around him, closest to him. And that comes before the big crowd and all the fancy hoopla. He could speak to large crowds and people would be impressed, but it's not about just him making a big speech. It's him, he's thinking, long term, I'm going to impact a handful of people that will impact others. So here he is, his disciples, and he's going to speak about his heavenly kingdom and what is it like. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We get to our text, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So in this scripture, Christ is teaching his disciples, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to stand out. That's the only way we're going to make an impact. We don't make an impact in being the same. No one notices the same. But when we're radically different and we represent God, and the world looks around and sees dysfunction, then they see us and we're different than the dysfunction, and they're like, that's what's different. That's what's missing. Okay? And that's how we make an impact. We make an impact by being different. So, Christ talks about the importance of being different, and he's going to give two word pictures of things that are different. These two things that will arrest your attention. Number one, he says to them in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. He says to them, if you want to make a difference, be like salt. Be like salt. Think like salt would think, and act like salt would act. Now, salt doesn't think. I'm not sure why I said that. Be like salt, though. We'll stick with this point. Be like salt. Be different. Now, back then in ancient times, they didn't have the modern refrigeration system that we do today. And so they would take meat, and they would cure it with salt and leave it, and it would dry out the meat, and the meat could be preserved for long periods of time. And then later, if you needed some meat, you could pull out this dried meat. I don't know. I guess we have beef jerky now. But I guess that's kind of the idea, that they would have this, they could whip it out, and they could have a snack later. And some meat, when they didn't have other foods that were available, they could always eat this meat. So it's important that this meat is well preserved. And you notice a difference when something is correctly salted, okay? So salt does make a major factor. Salt is a preserving agent. And salt is something that kept things the way they should be. It kept things from decaying. But what good is salt when it's not salty? It doesn't help your meat, right? It's useless. It's worthless. And this is the same way that Christ looks at his believers, okay? We should make a difference in our world. We should be the preserving agent. I think about in the end times when the church is raptured, all the chaos in the earth, it's because the earth isn't salty anymore. It doesn't have that anymore. We should be the person that makes a difference. We should think the thing that preserves morality, the thing that preserves right and wrong, decency, modesty, all of these things. This can be us and the example that we set. And people do notice. And I think sometimes, people react to they react to the person that holds the strongest stand, I think, sometimes. And they're like, I'll just be one off of that. They're reacting to you, which isn't the right way to make standards. You don't react to people, I don't believe. I think you have to follow the Lord. But when the Christians move, it does affect our society and culture. And when we're not following the Lord the way he leads us, it can be hurtful to others. And people do take their cue from us. So it's important that we are salty and that we are preserving the things that are right. And we are making a difference. Now, if salt has lost its savor, what good is it? It's no good, right? And so what's Christ saying to his disciples here? He's saying it in a very polite manner. But he's saying this to them. You know, if you're not standing up to things that are morally wrong, if you're not being different than the world around you, essentially, you're worthless. You are worthless. And I wonder how often as believers, we're not really standing for Christ in this world, and we're not really making a difference, and we're not making things better. And God is not using us the way that we should be used. And the world is going to go downhill, and we're not stopping it. And maybe we have our little groups, our little holy huddles, and we can tell each other how great we did. You know, that was a great special, or that was a great message, or wow, you really did a good building project where no one saw it. Good job for you. And in the meantime, we have no witness at all. And unless there's unsaved people to see it, you know, that may not change people's lives. So it's important that we do impact the world. And it's important that we are standing for what's right, and people can see that stand in us. So Christ says to his disciples, you want to make impact for the world? Number one, be like salt. Then he gives a second picture. He says, be like light. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So secondly, be like light. Be like light. Now, I will tell you, I preached this same message in elementary chapel, and what I did, I won't do it for you guys. You guys probably wouldn't be as impressed. But I did turn out the lights, and I whipped out the old cell phone flashlight. And first I say, can you see in here? And they say, no. Then I whip out the old cell phone flashlight, and they're like, ooh, shiny object. And so it gets their attention. And I say, you know what? In a world around us with all this darkness, when you are light, you are such a contrast. And people do notice things that you say and things that you do that are so different. And this is what we should be doing. I will tell you, my parents had many chances to witness, and this may be hard to believe. When I was a kid, the fact that they had 7 children that would respect and obey their parents, because it was such a rare thing, you know? And people would compliment my dad, and we used to all laugh, if they really knew. We're not perfect. We're not angels. But just to have some kind of testimony with your family, that is such a powerful thing. And the world doesn't have that. And the world wants that desperately. But it's just so important that we are a light. And we don't need to hide what we are. He says to this, think about the ancient Near East. Now, they don't have street lights like we do, and they don't have highway lights. But just imagine you're traveling, and it's just darkness everywhere. And then up on the hill, there's a city, and it has its lanterns burning brightly, maybe around the fence, the perimeter of it. Maybe they're looking for someone that might be invading. But you see that bright light, and it's just out of nowhere, light. And that captures your attention. It blinds you to everything else because it's so bright. And he says, a second picture, just imagine you have this candle. I won't sing the song for you. Just imagine that you have this light or this candle, and you can either put it under a basket, and no one can see it, or you can put it up on a stand up high, and it illuminates the whole room, and it flickers. You see the light flickering. And that's such a wonderful thing. He says this about our light, okay? We know what God's Word has to say. As believers, hopefully you've put your trust in Christ. He's come into your heart. He's changed you. You have sanctification. You've grown in your walk with him. You've learned holiness to be set apart from the world. And now, here comes people that you're interacting with who don't have Christ in their life. Well, they need to see that you have light. You don't need to hide it. Just be yourself. I don't understand how hard this can be. You know, I think we make it really hard. You know, how will I talk about the Lord? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I talk about the Cubs. I talk about the Bears, mostly negative. But I talk about all kinds of things. How come we can talk about all this, but we can't talk about the Lord? You know? Did you read your Bible? Hopefully you've read it every day. Have you been in church? Well, you guys are faithful. It's Wednesday night. It's a nice night outside. You guys are faithful, I'm going to guess. Just throwing that out there. We have plenty to talk about. Just like if I spend time watching sports, I can talk about that. I spend time with the Lord, I can talk about that. It shouldn't be that hard for me. So, he warns them, you are light, don't hide it. Let people see you who you really are in Christ. And when the light is hid, you're hiding it from people that need it the most. You're hiding it from people who are in darkness. You're not helping them. And he says, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're not being light to impress people, okay? We're being a light to point people to Christ and to show them what he's done in our life, right? It's not about how good we are. When I was a kid, I tried various techniques for witnessing to my friends, and I used to tell them, you know, and I used to list all the things that I didn't do. You know, I've never been to a movie theater, and I thought that would help them see Christ, and they'd look at me, what? And then I'd list all the stuff we'd never done, and they'd be like, that's strange. And then I thought, you want to hear more about Christ? And I thought, this is gonna fix them. And it didn't, okay? Me bragging about my personal standards doesn't change anyone, okay? What changes them is what Christ has done in my life. And pointing to Christ, what he has done on the cross for them. And that's the focus. We're here to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. Not to say how good we are or just how holy I am. You know, this used to be the old joke at my work I used to work at. I used to get drug tested every month or two. And they used to always say I was the one guy that they knew would always pass. They said, Micah will pass the drug test. Why don't you have him go? So that was always the joke. But It's witnessing. It's not about how good that I am or how many good things that I've done, because at some point we've all fallen short. And if we wait till we're perfect to witness, we'll never witness, because we're not perfect. And if our witness is based on how good we are, at some point we're going to mess up. But we point them to God, because God is perfect and he'll never let them down. So my encouragement to you is to be salt, be a preservative against moral corruption, and show others how God lives and how Christ would interact in this world. And second, be light, be a witness, be a testimony, share Christ with others. You can give a tract, it's easy to do, okay? You can tell others about God. You can bring God glory with your life. Let's pray.